from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
Amen.
And all my life you have been faithful.
Amen.
And all my life so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Well, that was good. Amen. Or as the country man may say it, that was gooder than good. That means it was real good. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that God's goodness has run me down a few times.
Amen.
Oh, you'd have to be run down by the goodness of God to understand that statement I just made. Amen. See, sometimes we think we're good.
Yeah.
Right? But I know what the Bible says. There's none good.
Amen.
And so the goodness of God ran you down is what happened. Yeah. It's not that you're good. You didn't find your way to God. The goodness of God ran you down and apprehended you.
Yeah.
Amen. You say, well, I'm saved now. The goodness of God's run you down since you've been saved too.
Amen.
He sure has. And I'm thankful for that. I truly am. You say, well, that's not a very deep message. Well, it might not be deep as far as theology, but it sure is deep in experience. And really, when you think about it, it's real deep in theology. My mind sure can't get around it. How the goodness of God would run me down. Thank God for that. Amen. Well, I've got a principle on my heart that I want to share with you about giving thanks. It's kind of, well, it's a principle that I want to take and put in scripture form because it's a scriptural principle. You say, well, what does all that mean? Well, it's just a simple little principle that God's laid on my heart. I got to thinking about that verse of scripture in Habakkuk. I ask you to turn to it, and I don't turn to it tonight. I ask you to turn to it Sunday morning, Habakkuk 3:17 and 18, where it says, though, and it starts talking about all the things that had gone wrong. You know, the fruit wasn't barren, the fields wasn't producing, and, you know, though all of these things, right? Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And you know, I said, Thanksgiving is a choice. Well, it is. That scripture right there, if that was all we had, Thanksgiving is a choice. But even with it being a choice, well, God spoke to my heart about that. And I began to just give it some thought and truly meditate on that thought. Is it just that simple? And I found, no, it's not. And God led me to some scripture that I want to share with you. Now, the scripture's simple. The principle is simple. But the actual putting into practice, well, that may be a challenge. And so I want us to pray and ask God to help us with this principle. And I just believe with all of my heart, if you'll just follow along with some scripture, I believe it's going to help us to understand some things about choice, in particular, this thing of choosing to be thankful. Thanksgiving is a choice. But I think if we would see what God has given us to help us to make the right choice, then we would make the right choice more often. All right, let's pray. Father, would you help me to make it very clear the principle that you've laid upon my heart, and I pray that you would lay it upon the hearts of your people. We truly want to be a people of thanksgiving. And, Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, and yet because of sin and the curse, because of the old flesh, we just take so much for granted, and we just ask you to forgive us, Lord, for this, and we pray you'd help us by the aid of the Holy Spirit of God to be the thankful people that you deserve to have as your people. And God, as your people, we want to be known as a thankful people. So help us to be thankful for all things, always, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to just turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin here and then we'll come back here, okay? Ephesians chapter 5. So I thought about something. I thought about these scriptures when I was thinking about Thanksgiving, and I went right to verse number 20, and then I began to think, well, you know, that's hard, okay? Look at what verse number 20 says. Verse number 20 is hard, okay? The Bible says in Ephesians 5, in verse number 20, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, I'm not going to try to skirt around this and say, well, really what that means is this and that. It just means what it says. It means always be thankful for all things. So, well, you mean you can't give us any Greek words that would make that easier? Nope. God asks us to do some hard things. So let's look at some other things. And this is what I began to think about. So here in verse number 19, let's back up. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody into your heart and to the Lord. Now, is that a command? Yes. This is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. God said, this is what I want you to do. Now, he's talking to a group of people. Okay? And he if you go back to verse number 18, he says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, we know the only people who can be filled with the Spirit are Christian people. So we're talking to Christian people here, okay? The book of Ephesians is written to believers. So we said, you know, you be filled with the Spirit. Now, is that a commandment? Yes. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. So verse 18 is a commandment. God expects us to do it. Verse 19 is a commandment. God expects us to do it. Look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Is that a commandment? Yes. Yes. It means be teachable. Be pliable. Don't be conceited. Don't be heady. Don't be high-minded. Don't be a know-it-all. Right? Is that what this verse is teaching? Absolutely. Is it a commandment? Yes. Look at verse 22. Especially to you women. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Is that a commandment? Come on, you sissy men. You should have, yes, a commandment. Amen. Stay camp out there, preacher. Yes, that's a commandment. It's a commandment. Just like verse 18. Just like verse 19. Just like verse 21. Verse 22 is a commandment. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Is that a commandment? Yes. Does God expect me to keep that commandment? Yes. Does God expect the ladies to keep the commandment in verse 22? Yes. Does God expect us to keep the commandment in verse 21? Yes. Does God expect us to keep the commandment in verse 19? Absolutely. Does God expect us to keep the commandment in verse 18? Yes. Then why would God change in verse number 20? God said, keep the commandment. Say, well, it's hard. God said, I know. That's why I put verse 18 before verse 20. Hey, man, you say, that's simple, preacher. Oh, I know. But see, God starts out simple with me. Because I'll just jump and say, hey, everybody ought to be thankful. If you're saved, you ought to be thankful. Hey, man, I'll put it out there. And then God will say, okay, let's see how thankful you are. Are you thankful for all things always? Well, no. Well, why? Well, it's hard. That's no excuse. It's hard for wives to submit themselves to their husbands, too, when they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's hard for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church, too, when they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yep. It's hard to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and make melody in your heart, too, when you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But now when you're filled with the Holy Ghost of God, that just, listen, it just flows from you. You don't even have to think about it a whole lot. Amen. 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 You know what else happens? I mean, it just flows. When you're full of the Holy Spirit of God, you're just thankful. I mean, for all things, always, you're just thankful. You're just singing. You say, well, that's impossible. Well, then you explain it to me. It's not impossible. With man, it is. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. Amen. That's why God said, now you're going to have to get me involved if you're going to do this. Yeah. Yeah. And so it's just a little simple principle, you know. But if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll read Scripture and we'll say, well, you know, really what that means is, well, it really means what it says. God said, I want you to be thankful always for all things. You say, well, now, wait a minute. That's hard. God said, I know, but I've got something. I've got someone who's going to help you to do that. So that's impossible. Well, with you, with man, it sure is. But God said, I'm going to help you. You've got someone who's taken up residence in you. Now, with that said, we're going to come back to this, okay? I want to look at just a few, I guess, truths that tie into this principle that I want to give you. So we go back to Romans chapter 1. And it's very simple, Romans chapter 1. Now, you'll want to hold your place there. We're going to come back to Ephesians 5. Now, again, this is not going to be deep theology. You're not going to have to break out your lexicons or your concordances. I just want to lay some simple principles that make a major difference in our lives. I want to tell you something about this spirit of unthankfulness now, so I want you to really listen very carefully. As I study the Scripture, and I have run many references, and I'm not saying that like I'm somebody. It's just I just took the time to run some references. This sin of unthankfulness is usually grouped with some of the most vile, some of the most filthy, some of the most wicked sin of all of mankind. This sin of unthankfulness. And yet, if we're not careful, We'll just think, well, yeah, it's not a big deal. It's a very big deal to God. I'm going to show you how big of a deal it is in Romans 1. So if you look at Romans 1, if you'll go down to verse 18 with me, the Bible says in Romans 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." In other words, they kind of suppress it. They don't want the truth. They know the truth, but they suppress it back. They hold it back. They don't want the truth to rise to the top so that they will be held accountable for it. They try to block it out of their mind. Now, we've all done this, okay? He's talking about mankind here in verse number 18. The wrath of God has been revealed from heaven, okay? This is how God deals and feels about sin. Then he said in verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." See, God made himself known to man. And God said, "I want to reveal myself to you." And this is what he did. He said in verse number 19 that he manifested them, for God hath showed it unto them. God's revealed some things to you and I in mankind. All right? We're going to answer another question here in verse number 20. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Well, now, what about the people who've never heard the gospel? Without excuse. Telling you what God said. Without excuse. Why? Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They said, "We don't want anything to do with it. We're going to make up our own gods." Telling you what the Bible says now. Not what you've heard from some preacher, what you've read in some book. This is what the Word says. The Word says that God revealed himself in creation. Now, that doesn't take away the Great Commission. What I'm saying to you doesn't remove the Great Commission. It doesn't remove missions. It doesn't remove compassion and sharing the gospel. Because right before that, Paul made it very clear in verse number 16. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." And he said in verse number 15, "I'm going to preach." And he said in verse number 14, he said, "I'm a debtor to man, Greek and barbarian." Amen. We need to get the gospel out. So what I'm saying to you doesn't relax the fact that we have a responsibility to mankind to get them the gospel. But what I am saying is that God has revealed himself in creation as the creator God. And notice what it also said. He has revealed his power in verse number 20, being understood by his eternal, even his eternal power and Godhead. Who God is, what God can do. Listen, man knows this. Man knows this. He may not know it like you and I know it now. We're on this side of Calvary. We're on this side. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We've had some things open up and our eyes are open. But man knows, hey, there is a creator God. There is a designer. There is somebody who put all this here. But when man knew that, notice what the Bible says in verse number 21. Because, this is why they're without excuse. Look at the way verse 20 ends. Because they're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, did you get that? When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. When they knew there is a supreme being, there is a power beyond what we possess out there. They said, "Oh no, we don't want to be accountable to that now. We want to take the credit. We want to take the glory for it." So they glorified him not as God. You see that in verse 21? Neither, now here we go, were thankful. See, it's not by nature, we're not thankful. Now here's my point. I'm going to move on, but I'll come back to that. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. See, when you're unthankful, bad things happen. Now I want you to listen. Bad things happen. You say, well, being unthankful is not that big of a deal. It's a very big deal to God. It's a very big deal to God. And so it says they became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Look at verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, God's just identifying and summing up mankind here. I read this and I wrote it down. Verse 22, look at it. Professing themselves to be wise, one man said this, unsufferably conceited. I thought, wow, that about sums it up with man, doesn't it? Unsufferably conceited. We know better than God. You know? We don't, you can't tell us anything. You go to try to help somebody and teach somebody, I know. We all can be that way if we're not careful. I know. Try to help somebody. Try to help them. Now, brother, listen. Now, the Bible says, I know. Well, you're not doing. Yeah. Maybe you need to take that from I know to I'm going to practice. Because he said, professing themselves to be wise, look at this next thing, they became fools, unsufferably conceited, abysmally ignorant. Always leads to that, doesn't it? People who think, you know, you can't teach me, I know it all. Abysmally ignorant of some of the most important things in life. Can I encourage you and I to do a couple things from this passage of Scripture? Number one, to realize by nature, we're very selfish people. Now, I want you to listen to this principle, okay? We're very selfish people. What's that got to do with unthankful? Selfish people are always ungrateful. Do the research. Always. Selfish people, always unthankful. You say, well, how do you know? You done some research? A little bit, but this book teaches it. That's how I know. Selfish people, always ungrateful. Always. Selfless people, always thankful. Always selfless people, always thankful. You know, that's why if you'll search the Scripture now, God is constantly telling us to what? Give. Give of yourself. Give of your time. Give of your money. Give of your love. Give of your possessions. Give, 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 and it shall be given unto you. God said, I want to teach you to be thankful. Well, how are you going to do that, God? Start giving. Amen. What? Yeah, you listen, I got to get that unselfish inside of you before you'll ever be thankful. Pete, listen, children come into this world with their fists clenched. Watch it. And then, boy, you have to teach them. Now, share, Billy. Billy, share. Matter of fact, Billy won't play with that toy until he sees Jimmy pick it up. You know, mine! Boy, he's ready to fight now. You done got his toy. Why? We're selfish. We're selfish. And see, we have to be broken from that, don't we? There's two things that a parent really has to work really hard with a child on. Share and say thank you. Can I tell you, God has to work on me that with those two things? My father's still working with me on those two things. And I think he's still working on all of us as his children. Share now. Share. It's okay. Give. 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 Don't be a taker. Only. Somebody's got to take if we're going to give. But just your life shouldn't be characterized by taking. It should be characterized by giving. Say amen with me. Don't become, verse number 21, neither be unthankful. By nature, we're not thankful people. God knows this. So what's God do? Well, I'm going to give you another principle. That's a principle. That's a biblical principle. I could go to Scripture after Scripture, in the New Testament alone, and show you where God said unthankfulness is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to be unthankful. And it will get you in some deep trouble. It'll make your life miserable. I tell you what unthankfulness does. I read this and I thought, that is really good. Listen, little children can teach you some stuff. So there was a little boy who was asked this question in class. How many of you know what salt is? And this little boy raised his hand. He said, I know what salt is. Salt is what makes French fries terrible when you don't put it on it. Kind of like, how many of you know what thankfulness is? Thankfulness is what makes life terrible when you don't use it. You know, you go through life unthankful and selfish, you will die a lonely, miserable life. God help me and God help you to learn what it is to be caring and sharing and thankful and grateful people. How can that happen, preacher? Well, I'm going to show you. Turn to James just for a moment before we close in Ephesians. James chapter number 1. and 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. James chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I hope this will help somebody. I really do. That's my prayer. So I don't even have to get a pen out to write down what the meaning of this word means and that word. We're not going to dig deep. No, we're just going to learn a great principle. Being thankful. How to be thankful. It's more than just saying, well, I know I ought to be thankful. It's more than just telling your children, now be thankful. No, it's deeper than that. It really is. So James chapter 1 says this, and either you believe it or you don't. Okay, look at it. James chapter 1, look in verse number 17 there, would you? Very familiar verse of Scripture. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Do you believe that? I believe you do. I do, and I believe you do. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. So, in essence, when I go to the grocery store and get a loaf of bread, somebody say, well, where'd you get that bread? I could say the store, but, you know, really it came from God. So, how'd you get that? Well, I mean, where'd the store get it? Well, they got it from the baker. Well, where'd they get it? Well, they got it from the miller who mills the grain, or the farmer who grows the wheat. Well, where'd they get it? Well, they got it from the fields. Well, where'd they get it? Trace everything you have back to God. Amen. Everything I have. Can I tell you, Paul said this? Turn to 1 Corinthians. Now, listen, that James 1:17, I believe this with all of my heart, brethren. I just believe that everything that I have in life, God gave to me. And I just want to say thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And forgive me when I don't say thank you.
Amen.
I just that old nature. I'm no different than an old pagan back who doesn't want to acknowledge God.
Right.
And who doesn't want to retain Him in his thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul made this argument that I'm making to you today in the form of a principle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he made it to the church at Corinth. Look at chapter 4, verse number 7. This is a great verse of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says this, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And here it is, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" Can you tell me? What do you have that wasn't given to you? You see Paul's argument? And yet, if we're not careful, as proud men and women, we'll walk around like we've done something. Now listen, I'm not taking human responsibility out of this, but it all begins with every good gift.
Amen.
And every perfect gift.
Amen.
Is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. God is the great giver of all things that we have. Everything I have is because of God's goodness.
Amen.
See, when I view life this way, then I'm ready to be thankful. For what? Well, let's close now in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul said, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." That's verse 18. He said, now you got to be filled with the Spirit to do this stuff, folks. Amen. That's what he's saying. He said, now listen, I'm getting ready to lay some principles to you, some commandments that you're not going to be able to do in case you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now there's a couple things I want to give you about being filled with the Spirit, because I want you to understand what it is. This could change somebody's life here tonight. There's some people sitting on the sound of my voice, if not in the building, I know watching by live stream. Perhaps both. I don't know. Who say, well, I've heard that phrase before, be filled with the Spirit. Sounds like a good thing to do. But I thought maybe only preachers needed that when they preached. Or those that are playing the instruments or singing the songs. They're the ones that need that, aren't they? Well, you know, there's a difference between anointing, now listen, for different occasions, than living the Spirit-filled life. This verse of Scripture here, and please hear me now. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is not what Paul's speaking of. If you're saved, you've been baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. So you see, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now please hear this, because people get mixed up. And you know why they get mixed up? Because the devil knows if you ever get this straight, you are prone to live the victorious Christian life. You have the ingredients, because it comes from this book. But so many people don't realize this now. See, when you got saved, 1 Corinthians 12:13, write this verse down. You got baptized. That word baptized means placed into. Just like when people get baptized up here, they get placed into the water. You got baptized into the body of Christ. The baptism of the Holy Spirit of God is me getting placed into the body of Christ. The filling of the Holy Spirit is Christ getting my body. See, one deals with Christ's body. That's the baptism. One deals with my body. That's the filling. The filling of the Holy Spirit. You get that? It's important. Look what he said now, verse 18. I'm in Ephesians chapter 5. He said, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, I wasn't going to lay this Greek on you, but I'm going to. You have to understand some things about the tense of verbs in order to interpret Scripture sometimes. That's why folks sometimes need a pastor. So I can study it myself. Well, I hope you will go home and study it yourself. And then come back and say, "Well, hey, Pastor, you were right. I studied it out because I want to do what's right. I am so afraid to mishandle God's Word. I have a fear about that." Okay? I take it very serious. And I want you to. Notice what the apostle's saying here in verse 18. "But be filled." You see that? That's a verb. The tense of that verb is very important. The tense of that verb is perfect tense. Okay? What's that mean? That means that it's a repeated action. "But be ye being filled." There is a constant action needed here. Okay? It's not a one time. It's constant. You know why? We're leaky vessels. Somebody say amen with me. I could be thankful today and wake up in the morning unthankful. So how could that happen? I can't explain it all. It's just this old sinful flesh we live in. I need continuous fillings of the Holy Spirit of God. Continuous. And so it is it's written in the perfect tense. That's the verb. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's a continuous action. It's something that we constantly need. But now here's something else that's very important. When I search this out, it's in the passive tense, which means you can't do it yourself. You can't fill yourself. See, notice what it says now. "But be filled with the Spirit." Go back. It says, "And be not drunk with wine." That is an understood subject there. Ye be not. It's plural too. All of you. All of you. Be not drunk with wine. And all of you be filled. But you can't fill yourself. But there's something you can do to be filled. It's called yielding. You have to yield in order to be filled. You following me? You have to yield. You have to yield yourself and know, "I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ." Amen. Amen. As long as you in the flesh, as long as you let yourself live. Lester Roloff used to say, "I wake up every morning, jump out of the bed, and jump in the grave." The first time I heard him say that, I thought, "What in the world is he talking about?" Now I know. You have to understand that your flesh cannot make decisions, or you will not be what God wants you to be. Galatians 5, the spirit and the flesh are contrary to one to the other. There's just a big battle going on, right, brethren? You fought it today, didn't you? Come on now, you fought it today. You fought this battle. You're going to fight it tomorrow too. I wish I could tell you that it'd go away tonight, but it's not. It's not. So what are we going to do? Well, he said, verse number 20, he said, I want you to give thanks always. God told me to tell you to always be thankful for all things. You say, "Paul, that's easy for you to say." Yeah, I know. He was in prison when he wrote this. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. He said, "I'm just thankful that I'm suffering for Christ's sake." How can you find something to be thankful for in prison? Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. Yielded up. Amen. Yielded. I know some things. I know that if I yield to the Spirit of God and I say, "God, I don't want to live my life today. I want you to live your life in me." Is that the way you live your life? Listen, the filling of the Holy Spirit is not my message tonight. But in order to accomplish the message tonight, which is to be thankful for all things, always, you're going to have to be filled with the Spirit. Because Paul said you can't do it without it. So how do I do that, preacher? Well, let me break it down for you like this, okay? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It's a choice. You mean we're back to that word? We started with it, we're going to close with it. It's a choice. You get to choose. Now, we're talking about being thankful. We could talk about a number of things, okay? I'm glad God gave us choice. We do champion choice, right? Amen. Amen. We're not Calvinists. We champion choice. We champion what this Bible teaches. We have choice. You get to choose. I just can't help it. I'm just an unthankful person. You can help it and you can change. But now you've got to make a choice. And the only way you're going to make the right choice is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and say, God, I don't have what it takes to be thankful always for all things. Now, listen, I can be thankful. There's people not even saved can be thankful. Yeah. But I can't be thankful always for all things without being filled with the Spirit. In order to be filled with the Spirit now, you're going to have to yield and say, God, I die to myself. Best I know how, I yield myself to you. I want you to control. That's what that word filled means. I wish I had more time to go into it. It means controlled. I want to be controlled by the Spirit. I don't want to control me. I don't want to control me. So that's the problem with a lot of us. We want to control things. But when we let God control, then God teaches us to be submissive one to another, to have a song in our heart and to sing and make melody in our heart, to be thankful always for all things. See, God teaches us these things. Let's stand. Be filled with the Spirit. It's a choice. So I'm not filled with the Spirit. Well, you can be. It's a choice. Just like getting saved. Getting saved is a choice. Oh, I just couldn't help it. God bore down on me and I had to get saved. No, 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 no. That's the furthest thing from the truth of what this Bible teaches than that you could make a statement. God spoke to you about getting saved and he gave you a choice. The Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, well, now you got a choice. You can believe on the name of the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Or, he didn't say this, but it was inferred, implied, or you can reject it and die in your sin and go to hell. Right?
Yep.
It's a choice. It's a choice. So you made a choice to get saved. Now, are you going to be filled with the Spirit so you can live the Spirit-filled life? I hope that you've understood it's a choice to be thankful. So, well, I don't understand all things. He didn't say give thanks for everything you understand. He said give thanks always for all things. You can do that if you're filled with the Spirit. Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask the pianist to play.